Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Now, if we could have that as our thought every day, we would be praying for rain. We would be praying for rain because with every drop of rain, it would be a penny from heaven, and there'd be millions and zillions and jillions of pennies all over the place. And who would be picking them up? Well,
me.
They would be so common, nobody would pick them up. But for all those who did pick them up, and piled them up and stacked them up and took them to the bank and turned them in and put them on their account as cash, it would be a lot of work. But the thing is, it adds up. Now, let's change the song. Every time it rains, $1,000 from heaven. Every time it rains, $1,000 from heaven. So when it's raining rain, it's not raining rain, you know. It's raining $1,000 from heaven, every drop that goes. Now, what's wrong with that song?
Nothing.
Nothing. How often do you sing that song? Not at all. Do you have all the money you could use all the time? Well, if you don't, or if you could always use a little more, you could always buy another castle in another wonderful country, you know, then just start singing the song and start realizing it and start enjoying it and start filling your heart with abundance. Now, logically, to have rain fall in $1,000 bills would be an economic catastrophe. It would completely mess up the current market of the dollars being useful. Now, what if gold dust fell every time a drop of sunshine hit the earth? Gold wouldn't be worth a thing because it'd be so common. What is it that makes gold worthy, valuable? Its lack of commonality. It is not a common substance. It is very precious. What makes a $1,000 bill very special? That the fact that there are not that many of them. There are more $100 bills and dollar bills than there are $1,000 bills. And people who are dealing with $1,000 bills are usually dealing with credit cards or with checks or something of that nature. So, let's start being illogically logical. What is it that you would like to have in your life that would be just loads of fun to have? Well, some women say, I'd love to have a baby. Yeah, 1, 2, or 5, or 10, but not 100. That would sort of push it over the edge of your ability to care for them. And the same is true for money. When you have a lot of money, you have a responsibility to take care of it. And the responsibility to take care of it is, if you don't spend the money, why have it? If the money doesn't buy for you what you would like to have, why bother having it? You see, so many people, they say, oh, if I only had so much money, if I only had this, well, you do. And there are lots of people that have it. We look at Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and many others, and we see how much billions of dollars, they can't even count it. There's no way they could count. Now, they're not going to live forever. They could, but they're not going to live forever. They're going to die. And when they die, they're going to leave billions and billions and billions, I could go on and on, of dollars lying around in banks and in stocks and bonds and for their children and for whomever. And what benefit is that going to be? When you have it, spend it and enjoy it. Now, what if Warren Buffett were to take $1 billion and he and his wife say, let's see, sweetheart, let's just go and spend it. Let's just think of all the things that would be fun. And not go in a thrift store. Go into a very expensive store. Go in a very expensive store where they have expensive scents. There's a place in Texas, don't recall the name of the store, but it's a store that it's for people who have everything. And you go to that store and you order what you want, because they will get it for you. It costs, but they'll get it for you. If you think that your little daughter would like to have a real live baby elephant, they'll get a real live baby elephant for her. And you can have it in your house. It's perfectly legal. You can have it in your house, but then you would certainly make arrangements with the local zoo to have that elephant after 6 or 8 months. Because having elephant turds around and having elephant need of straw and having elephant, the loud noise that they make, you know, and so forth, would be quite irritating unless you had a large estate on which you could have these. And even there, there might be some objection from the neighbors, you know. So, all these things, you could have anything you want from this store. Now, that store's name is the Divine Within You. That store, really, the store's name is not that down in Texas, but that's what its real store is. The Divine Within You. What is it that you would like to have? If you had Warren Buffett or Bill Gates' money, or anybody else who is very wealthy, if you had their money, would you get fun out of keeping it and letting it grow? I mean, you've already got much more than you could ever use in a dozen lifetimes, you know. You could go out and buy countries with that billions of dollars. There are many countries in the world whose gross national product is only a third of $1 billion, you know. And you could go in and buy that whole country if you wanted to, you know. The people would be glad to sell out because it'd be more than they would ever know. And many of these African countries whose land, you could go and buy it all up. And next thing you know, you'd own the whole country. And well, what is it you'd like to do? What sort of stuff would you like to do? Are you philanthropic? Are you eleemosynary? Are you interested in helping humanity or helping mankind? If you are, your money isn't going to do any good. What is it that you're going to do with your money? Build hospitals and schools and roads? That doesn't do it. What you want to do is say, now, how can I get to these people to let them have another attitude of mind that says, I like me, I am divine order, I'm peace, I'm independently wealthy, I'm these things. And then the really rough thing comes to your attention, at least it does to mine. So what? So what? Why am I going out and trying to... Everyone's got a perfect right to do anything they want to do in the world. Now, am I enjoying myself? I've got all this money, and it doesn't mean a thing to me because I got so much, you know. And so I got all this money. Now, what would I like to do? Well, work is work. Work is anything that keeps you busy and happy and occupied in a pleasurable way. Not necessarily bringing money in, because most people who work and enjoy their job are not bringing in a great deal of money. What they're doing is they're bringing in a great deal of happiness to them. So, what would you do? Okay, if you have a family, you might look toward your family. Or how would you like to be the greatest spiritual leader in the world to yourself and study under the great masters of the world? Well, you could use your money to send yourself to these great gurus and study under them. If you have them come to you and come under your aegis, they will no longer be gurus, because now they will be working from a different point of view. They'll forget their spirituality and they'll go into their normal experience of having lots of money and not needing anything and not putting principle in work. They've already got it. They don't have to do anything about it. But you want to learn about people who have nothing, how they live their life in a very beneficial, meaningful way. Well, it seems that if you have to give up your money, at least put it aside, so that you can go and do these things, you can go do these things without money, couldn't you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And will you do it? Would you do it? What is your aim? Is your aim... See, because life is filled with so many ideas and so many opportunities, we sometimes can't make up our mind what opportunity, what idea is most fun. And because we can't make up our mind, we don't experience it. And because we don't experience it, then we just go through life sort of half-baked. And that's okay, yeah. But kind of silly. Now, what is it that you would do if you could do anything you wanted to do? What would you do if you could do anything in the universe you want to do? What would you do that would make you happy, make you feel fulfilled, make you feel rewarded and content? Would living at the monastery do that for you? Would living at the Absolute Monastery, living in the Church of God Unlimited, would that do that for you? Would that make you feel just absolutely fulfilled? Ask Ellen. Does Ellen feel fulfilled? Mm-hmm. Does Ellen feel, hey, life is great? Mm-hmm. Does she have time to do all the things she wants to do and still time to do all the things she feels she should do for the university? Yeah. Now, does Ingeborg feel that way?
Yes.
Do you feel, it's sort of a weak yes. Do you feel content where you are? Do you feel that you're living the life that pleases you and that thrills you? Is there any other thing that you'd like to do that would be better than this? If there is, why don't you do it? Now, do I think I'm doing what turns me on and
yes.
makes me happy? Yes.
Definitely.
Definitely. Am I being myself and having fun?
Oh, golly.
Now, what else is there to life than to be yourself and have fun?
Yes.
Now, when we are ourselves and having fun, then we've got everything going for us. When we feel that life's not making us happy, that things aren't going well, then we got problems. We got problems of not being ourselves and having fun. So, I say to you and me, I say to me, not you, I say to me, I am myself and I have fun and I just love being me. And no matter what circumstances I bring into my life, they're always one jump ahead of me in being joyful and happy and fulfilling and rewarding. And the people we just talked to, a couple that I've known for over 35 years, almost 40 years, from back in 72, 75, back in Switzerland, in Germany.
Yeah.
And this couple has attended my seminars over the years, and they have come great distances, and they've done great things. And they're just having fun living their life. And we talked to them on the phone today. I don't know what reason do we call them. We just wanted to get their name straightened. And in the process, they said, we listen to the Tao Healing Word every single day, even though it's repeated every day, because their English is not that good, so they hear it again and again and again and get the benefit. Now, I would never know that. I would never know. And every time we talk, say, oh, yes, I do this. Oh, yes, I listen to that. Oh, yeah. And so the talks that we have on the internet, the Tao Healing Words, the Thought for Today, Instant Illumination, Absolute Monastery, Absolute, the Absolute Philosopher, and the Mr. Candle, and the Bible Stories, and all these other good things. People listen to them, and I never know it. I just talk and give these beautiful talks because it come right out of my heart, and people around the world listen to it, and they never tell me about it, which is okay, but they listen and they get enjoyment out of it. And one of the great joys that most of our students get isn't from me. It isn't from me. You know what it's from? They can hear Ellen and Ingeborg and Sylvia laughing and talking in the background, and they feel like they're right here with us. And of course they hear the dog barking and keyoling, so that's all part of the game. But if I did not do everything that I do to be myself and have fun and just for my own enjoyment, I would be very bored with life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very thrilled with life because life is wonderful. Know that I love you eternally.
Love you eternally.